should have a concierge for their baby. Very niche, very different, very strange, and it's a mouthful. And some people are like, here is concierge. And when I tell people what it is, you can see them looking out into the distance going, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they want to know more.
Welcome to The Gab, a fortnightly podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thank you for clicking and downloading. Hazel Curran is the proprietor of Amy's House, a hugely successful creche in Clare Galway. She is a bundle of energy and spreads fun and positivity through life and her business. A lady not to rest in her laurels, she had a unique idea. That idea is proving to be very successful. You can get a gardener to look after your garden, an interior decorator to help with your home decor. Why not a helping hand during pregnancy and beyond? Listen to Hazel as she speaks of this truly niche market.
Hi everyone, you're very welcome to our podcast today. And I'm here with Hazel Curran from Amy's House Creche in Clare Galway, just across the road from the National School in Clare Galway. And I am intrigued, let's put it that way. I met Hazel in town. We had a little chat a couple of weeks ago about her business called Early Years Concierge. And as I said, I was intrigued to hear more about it. So we organised a podcast, and that's exactly what we're doing now. We're having a chat about it. Hazel, thanks for taking the time for
having a chat. Asking me to come and have a chat?
Not at all. Well, first of all, you have a busy house. Very busy house downstairs.
Very busy.
Lots of dads and moms coming and going, collecting their precious little cargo.
You met a few when you were coming in.
I met a few on the way in there, and they're mighty and they're happy out. And you can see them smiling and leaving. So that just shows that they're very happy in the surroundings here with you. So tell us, first of all, Amy's House. What a lovely name. Tell me where that name came from.
It's actually named after my daughter, Amy. When I first got the creche, didn't know what to call it. ABC, you know, all these different names you could call a creche. And myself and my mom were in the car with Amy after leaving here. And we were chatting so much that we drove past our own house. And Amy was only small, and she started screaming in the back of the car going, Amy's house, Amy's house, and pointing to our home house. So at the same time, myself and my mom said, that's what it's going to be called.
Well, that's lovely. And now she's, as you said, coming up to 21 years old.
21 in March, Paddy's Weekend next year. Can't wait.
So that just shows that the business is flying for you and has done over nearly two decades at this stage.
Yeah, hard work.
And you're still looking happy out. So there
I love it. I love it. I don't know what else I would be doing. I love it. I love meeting the people, meeting the parents, meeting the staff. I've excellent staff. I have a girl, or lady, should I say, Anne McDonough, working here for me, and she's been here with me since the first week that we opened, and she's still here. And she's fantastic. She mixes all their cups of tea, and she takes care of the parents with their upset and their first year. So it's lovely to have someone. The longevity of staff is fabulous.
Well, it tells a lot about you too, that they enjoy working with you too, which is most important. Now, the reason why I'm here, we're going to get on to different things over the next little while, but I'm here for Early Years Concierge.
A mouthful.
It's a mouthful, but I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
Now, you spoke to me initially that, look at Ronan, when you go out there and you get the house done, you get an interior decorator to come in and check out that kind of side of things.
Yes.
Then you go and get the garden done, so you get a professional to do the gardening. And then when you go and have a baby, there you go, that's where you kick in.
You're left on your own. So that's when I thought, oh, everyone should have a concierge for their baby. Very niche, very different, very strange, and it's a mouthful. And some people are early years concierge. And when I tell people what it is, you can see them looking out into the distance going, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they want to know more. And that's then where we just start talking and talking, and they'll say something like, oh, well, I've had my children, brilliant idea, but I know someone else who's having a baby, or my sister's having a baby, or my, and it's amazing. It's the men who love it.
Really?
They're just so intrigued by the fact that they could have a concierge. And then you can see them nudging their other half. Did you hear what this one is doing?
But
this
they're probably delighted to get the help as well.
Yeah, it's lovely. I mean, it's just over the years where, you know, the baby room has always been my most favourite room in the creche. We've always only ever taken three babies at a time. That's the ratio, three babies to an adult. So we were very conscious, or I was very conscious, and so were the staff over the years that were here, that we would give those children a very good start. And to have more than three at any one time would have been too difficult. But Yeah, we've put through a lot of babies. And we've learned a lot. I've had some fantastic staff working in our baby room over the year. A lovely girl called Ashley Malloy. She worked with me for years. She was fantastic in the baby room. Olivia O'Grady worked there. Fantastic women that are gone on to have their own families now. But I've learned so much from them, and we've learned so much from the babies over the years. And I just thought, God, we have so much information. And particularly over COVID, I was getting phone calls from parents who had been booked in to the creche to come. But obviously couldn't come during COVID, and were asking me questions. And I suddenly thought, do you know what? Maybe I should go further with this. I thought about it pre-COVID and never done anything about it. And COVID came. And then this has all just grown legs and just ran away with itself.
Yeah, but I suppose little old Ireland, sometimes we can be slightly narrow-minded when it comes to, you know, asking for help, pretty much. And I think that's exactly where you step in on this.
Yeah, I mean, we're supposed to know what to do with a baby.
Yeah.
Or you're supposed, and that perception for some women, or a lot of women, or even men and families, well, I should know what to do.
Yeah.
It should come naturally. And yeah, some of it will come naturally. It's a natural mother's instinct to do things. But sometimes you just need that to ask that question and not to feel that you're stupid for asking that question or that you're going to be the first one that ever asked that question. How to wind a baby, how to change a baby's nappy. Some people haven't had small children in their families before, or they're the youngest in the family, so they never saw the nappies been changed, or they haven't nieces or nephews. So it shouldn't be a stupid question, how to change a nappy, or how to swaddle a baby, or how to feed a baby, or what clothes to buy a baby, or what sun cream or sun hat, or where to buy them.
Yeah.
And there's so many things.
And where, obviously, you know, obviously conception happens. Where do you kick in? where do you come into that?
I would like to think that I kick in when mommy is at home and she suddenly decides, oh, maybe we should go looking for the cot now, or for the pram, or for have we got a spare room in the house? Sometimes people forget that they have to put this baby somewhere. This baby has to come home to something.
Yeah.
Or the biggest thing, one of the funniest things I've seen over the years is I've had a dad pull up in the two-door little coupe with two seats. And he,
that's not going
to
happen.
And I'm thinking to myself, saying, yeah, you know you're going to have to change your car. And the eyes just glaze over. And that's for them to have that discussion. But I would implant those questions. You know, I do a concierge service or a back to work consultation. And the back to work consultation would be, well, you know, do you want to use a nanny, or do you want to use a childminder? Do you want to go to a creche? Do you want to give up work? Is it more financially viable? So I would set those questions out to you, for you and your partner, or you and your own, to make those decisions. So I get the ball rolling and get the conversation going between a couple or a person that's on their own. Are they better off giving up work? Should they take a few years off? When is the most expensive time? There's all these grants that are available that people don't know about. They don't know about the NCS scheme, which is a scheme the government set up a couple of years ago, which everybody's entitled to something off their childcare. The amount of people I meet that don't even know about that. The amount of people that don't know that you should have tax credits because you're going to be a mommy or a daddy now. It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
There's so much stuff.
There is so much stuff. So you're probably talking roughly from about 5 months on as such.
Yeah, around that time.
Yeah, when you're beginning to kind of get, it's beginning to get real.
It's beginning to get real where, okay, we have a one bedroom apartment now. Maybe we need to get a house, or maybe we're living in an apartment. We want a house with a garden, or maybe we should make a will, or maybe we should change the car. There's lots of stuff. And what you don't want to do is frighten somebody by unloading all this on them. And people would say, well, we learned it. We didn't have you. We knew what to do. Yeah, you did. And fair play to you. But sometimes in the world we're living in now, there's so much information out there that maybe sitting down and having a chat with someone like me will just get you thinking, will just get you to do a little bit of research. And I'll send you in the direction where you can find that information.
That's really cool. It really is. And I think, you know, lots of couples out there, you know, they might not say it because they want to be independent.
Yes.
They want to show that they're able to do this, that and the other. But sometimes it's nice when, if you want to call it, a secret person just kind of is there
to
your side.
And that's the key. I am secret. People will say to me, how come you don't put up photographs of your customers or your clients on Instagram? Bearing in mind, I'm new to Instagram and I'm still learning how to work all that myself. I had my own course on that. But it is private. And anything that a customer or client will talk to me about or sit down and have a consultation with me is completely private. I don't need to tell anyone that I've met them. And people will say to me, are you busy? And I'll say, yeah, I'm busy. And where are you going today? And I said, oh, I might be going to Dublin today, or next week I'm going to Limerick. And they're, oh, why are you going there?
Yeah.
People don't need to know why I'm going. People don't need to know who I am. And if somebody wants to get put it up on their own social media that they've met me or whatever, that's fine. Yeah. And an odd time, people like to show off their babies if we're doing personal shopping. But it is private and people don't need to know.
It is, but I suppose no more than that. Now, you know, when a baby comes into the picture as well, you know, everybody's kind of anxious. You know, obviously the mom is anxious. The dad is anxious because that ad on television when the dad goes to help the child get his first pair of shoes.
Yeah.
All of these things of college
so
kicks
funny.
Into. There's so many mad things and you do panic.
You do.
So it's nice to have somebody there in the background that you can say,
just
can
pick
I just,
up the phone.
Yeah. Just come over here for a second.
Yeah, and there's choices. I had the nursery, which you came in here today and you had the creche downstairs. And we've evolved lots of stuff here in the creche over the years because of COVID and stuff. And with this business now, we're lucky we have a separate entrance. So when you came upstairs, you were hit with all kinds of multicolored stuff. But when you come into this room, it's a nursery. And it's a nursery that you would have in your own home, nice, soft, subdued colours. You've got the cot, you've got
Millie's here.
my little baby. You've got all the things that you would more or less have at home. So it's a nice environment. It's comforting. It could, someone who's pregnant or about to have a baby, it could be, you know, they can come and have a look at a cot. That they're not, I went into a shop this morning having a look at their nursery range and it was so overwhelming. There was at least 10 cots there from all different suppliers, shapes and sizes. And I did feel a little bit intimidated. I was being, you know, do I pick the grey one? Do I pick the white one? Does it come in a different colour? Is the paint, is it chipping off? Is it easy to put together? And all these things. And you could see, I saw a couple coming in beside me and he had no more interest. He really didn't want to be there. He was trying his best to show interest when she was saying, will we get the white one or will we get the grey one? Will we get the small one or will we get a basin out? Will we get a Moses basket? And the poor man, he glazed over.
Yeah.
So you can ring me and I can go shopping. So it's a nice gift to give someone as well. We do vouchers. So if you didn't want to go shopping with your other half, or if you had a daughter that lived here and you don't live in the same country or you live in a different town, I can go, you buy them a voucher and I can go shopping with them.
Yeah, that's
lovely.
And
go through everything and have the fun and have the crack. And the cup of tea.
Well, I've no doubt that you'd have the crack in here because I think that's a very strong attribute that you have that comes into the mix as well, is that you're a great mixer yourself. So I think that having you involved in the action, you know, it kind of lightens the mood of quite a tense time.
Yeah. And like I did, I went to a mother and baby group a couple of weeks ago in Knocknacara in the golf club. I was invited along. I had a great morning and these women had their babies. And to watch, there was a lady, there were twins, there was ladies there, you know, there was boys, there was girls, and to see how they were coping, it was fantastic. But they all had questions.
Of course they
and
had.
And the amount of them that didn't know about the tax credits, that didn't know about the NCS, that didn't know about certain things or where to buy certain things. And they all had different questions and all their questions were different. But even, as I say to people, if I can't find the answer, we'll find it together.
Yeah, of course.
Or I'll go Googling and or I'll find someone or I'll know someone who knows someone who knows someone and we'll try and find the answer together. So that's what's good about it too. You know?
And did you ever find in a situation at times where it does get kind of tense and you're in the middle of a situation and you might have a perspective, obviously dad and mom and they want the best for their child and you come in and throw your oar in, if you want to call it that. Did you have a few tense times like that or were they all quite light?
No, everything's quite light. Everyone has opinions. You have opinions, I have opinions, I have things that I believe in, you have things you believe in. So I don't want to put my beliefs onto a family or what I think they should do. I will give, and the classic example for that would be breastfeeding. Everyone is saying breast is best. Absolutely. Is it what something I would do? Not sure. But I will provide a family with the information. And they will do what's best for them as a family. And I'll steer them in directions of where they'll want to find information. I will never put my opinions or my beliefs on a family because I believe they have to be informed before they can make their own decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose the most important thing as well is that you'll give the canvas. There it is.
Absolutely.
It's up to you as a family to decide what direction you want to go.
Yeah, and if you want to find out more information or if you want me to tell you where you can go to get a tongue tie fixed on a baby, I'll give you a couple of names. Off with you. If you need to go and get a will made, I will tell you where to go and get a will made. If you need, I have a friend in the garage who will upgrade your car for you, who will make it bigger. So I've all these contacts around the place, which is brilliant. Been from Galway. You build up those contacts over the years.
Galway's
and it's brilliant.
A big town. And it that's is what I always town. Say. People call it a city. I call it a big town.
It's a big town.
And we all know each other.
Everyone knows everyone.
You know. Then obviously it's moving into the time where the baby, you know, they're expecting the baby. The baby's had, of course, they were in the hospital with the midwives and the doctors and the gynies. Oh, go for it.
We skipped a bit. We forgot to make up the cot and make up the pram and make up everything.
Yeah, of course. Let's go back. I was in the hospital already. She was holding my hand, squeezing, right?
No, we need to go back a step. So what we do then is we have three different services where we can go in and you've probably been there. I know I was there where you waiting for this baby to come and you have ordered the cot and you've ordered the pram and your bits and pieces and they all get landed in the hallway of the house.
Yeah,
and when you come home from work, they're all in the hallway of the house. And 2 weeks later, they're still in the hallway of the house. They might move to the utility or the garage.
Were you speaking to my wife or Anthony Hazel?
And they might move that far. You're heavily pregnant. You can't move them. So you're trying to shuffle them along to show so that when he does come home from work, you say, see, I moved them. See, you didn't make it up. See, I'm going to make it myself. So what we do is we can come in and we will make up the cot and we'll make up everything and we'll put it into the nursery. We will take away all the packaging. So we have a couple of three different layers of packages there. So that's one of them. And you can add on to that. So another one would be to get your hospital bag ready for you. And we'd wash all the baby's clothes and get them ready. We can also go and buy the items for you. We would have connections built up with shops in Galway as well and around the country.
That is just, my head is shaking. I cannot believe that this service was available. This is just
fantastic.
Only
if you want to pay for it, though.
No, that I respect. But on saying that, it's great to think that it's there.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You know, don't get me wrong. It's lovely when granny and granddad, future granny and granddad are knocking about and all that. But there's times where I think you need help kind of outside the family. Let me just breathe for a second.
Yeah.
Okay? And I think that's where you come in where, you know, I'm a bit stifled. I'm getting a whole heap of clothes from Nana and Granddad and it's lovely. Thanks,
you're
lovely.
Do you really need them? Maybe I should tell them I need something else. Maybe I need a set of sheets for the cot instead.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't need those clothes. And you just need to maybe empower a mom and just say, you know, I don't need all this stuff right now.
Yeah.
Maybe a voucher for that shop might be better for me or whatever, you know, and have someone that they can ring and say, listen, well, I did, you know, a ring and say, my mom wants to buy the pram, but I've already picked a pram somewhere else. What'll I do?
Or,
you know, whatever.
It does happen.
Or I'll say, well, why don't you ask them to give you a voucher towards the pram you want to buy?
Yeah.
You know, and people don't take offense, but I think if your hormones are all over the place, you think you're going to be offending people and you're not.
Yeah.
People won't get offended.
And I suppose, let's put it this way, you do have very proud family who are looking forward to the new arrival and stuff like that. So they might be a little bit on high dough too.
Yes. So, and comparisons between the daughter-in-law and the daughter having a baby. Mm. So we tend to put ourselves as women and probably sometimes we if another member of the family is after having a baby or you're about to have a baby or you're having the babies together and you might put in your head there's a little bit of competition.
Mm.
I don't think there is competition, but in your head and your hormonal, you'll think there's competition.
Yeah, she could be getting on better than me.
Yes,
or, you know.
Yes. And don't ever think that. And that's where I would come in. Yeah. Just pick up the phone, ring me and sure, we'll have a cup of tea. Be all fine.
Right. Okay. This is fantastic. And as I said, we're in a room upstairs in Amy's house at the moment, and it's just absolutely beautifully laid out. It's exactly like a nursery would be. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, Millie's very quiet
behind us there. Millie's very quiet. I'll show you how to do her nappy later.
Excellent. Well, there you go. I'll tell you what, it probably doesn't smell as bad as the one that I have to change at home. But no, it is really great. Then obviously, do you step back at a time then when they go into the hospital, obviously labour begins or a C-section begins?
I don't have anything to do with the hospital unless somebody wants me to be in their home and organise things for when they come home or something like that. No, I'm not a midwife. I'm not a doula. I can put you in touch with all those people if you have information and set up appointments and all that kind of stuff. But I don't do that. I think you have to know what you're good at.
Yeah.
And you have to, you know, if I was a doula, I'd be advertising myself as a doula, but I'm not a doula or a maternity nurse.
And would there be a situation where, or has it happened in the past, where you had a lady that says, do you know something, I'd like you to call in and just see how I am.
I've had the phone calls.
Yeah.
Can I check in with you?
Yeah.
Or they'd be, I've had a parent, you know, they'd go into, I knew they were going into labour and they weren't in the hospital. And you do build up these connections and you're worried about them and I haven't heard from them. And, oh God, I hope everything's okay. And then you'll get the phone call or the text. And it's usually the dad that rings me and said, oh, they're so excited and they're so happy. And, oh, thanks, Hazel, and everything. And I really didn't do anything, only I was on the other end of the phone. And then they'll say, can we bring them to see you? Can you call out? And they all want to call to see you and they all want to show off their baby. And that's where that is. And then the next stage, I hadn't planned on doing playrooms or toddler rooms. But now what's happened is I'm getting contacts for people to sort out their playroom or to sort out and to create a toddler bedroom.
Okay.
So that's what's happening.
So it's the next stage.
And I hadn't factored that in for when I started this. I thought it was just babies. And that's really what I really wanted to do. But I forgot that the babies are going to grow up.
Of course, yeah. There they are. They're not so sweet anymore.
No.
They're moving on and they're full of jammer
so
on their faces.
That's great because you've got the longevity of early years concierge, which means the name is good. It's early years, which is good.
Of course it is. And then obviously moving on, they're home now and they're getting settled in the room that you would have kitted out for them and they're happy out. Obviously the winding situation, the first time the baby coughs, my God, there's something wrong with my baby. What happened? It coughed.
Yeah.
Do you find that again the phone calls begin? What is going on?
No, I find particularly dads love books. I find the dads have swallowed the books. They've gone into Easons, they've gone online and they've bought the books.
You
can't beat the books. And then the dad will show you, look, it says here in the book. And I'm going, it does. But not everyone's the same. That's textbook. You have to enjoy the time. One of the questions they'd ask me, should I let people come to the home and meet my baby? That's something that a family have to decide for themselves.
Yeah.
I'll give them the pros and cons of doing it. But that has to be something that you decide yourself. What's happening at the moment, and it's working out really well for parents, is they're asking people not to come to their home for the first 2 weeks unless they need them. And I've encouraged new parents to say, if someone asks you for help, don't say, I know, I'm fine. Ask them, give them a job.
Yeah.
Give them a job. I mean, I gave one of my friends had a baby and she said the best present she ever got was I landed at the door with a casserole. She was in bed asleep. He was downstairs with the kids, not knowing what to do with them, and his mother-in-law, and I handed him a casserole and he thought all his Christmas had come together. So that's actually a good present to give somebody. You don't even have to go inside the house. Just land at the door with it. And something that can be put into the freezer.
Yeah.
So they can defrost or do it in sections or whatever. But so that's what's kind of happening. But don't be afraid to give the jobs. My mom is great at that. My mom, when she, you know, she's great, don't ask me if I need help because I'll tell you what I need, you know, straight out. And you should do that. You know, do the ironing.
Yeah.
Do practical stuff for people.
It's take the weight off the person's shoulders at that particular time is the key.
It's the practical stuff that people need help with. And they need to enjoy the time with their baby. They need to bond with their baby, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Even dads over the years, and I'm sure no more than everything else, you've seen big changes. I think men take a bigger role in the raising of their children now, I think, along the line.
Books.
Is it the books?
Books.
Well, Google is a very good gynecologist as well.
Yeah.
But would you find that dads are more hands-on now than they were maybe 10 years ago?
Probably more so, the books, which is huge, and also the pram, the buggy.
Yeah.
That seems to be, because it's a machine, it's something that is movable. It's a part.
I know where you're going with this. He's automatically after kicking in to be a mechanic.
Yeah. So like, you know, we have to get the best buggy on the market. And then when you actually bring him into the shop, he sees the price of the buggy and he has a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. But it's funny to watch. The biggest thing for the men, I think, would be their cars.
Yeah,
I've seen people having to change their cars or not changing their cars, or that their social life is suddenly curtailed. That's the biggest thing, is the car, the buggy and the social scene. And it all comes together eventually.
Yeah.
But sometimes the chats need to happen.
Of course, yeah. I suppose we are, we can be quite closed in at times as well. And we don't like to show a panic as much as we should. But do you find that men at times might have a kind of a calming effect on the situation? Will you relax?
Yes.
Will you relax?
Absolutely.
You're grand.
Yeah.
The child is fine.
Yeah. Or what not to say to your partner. I'll ring my mom. My mom did a great job. My mom had six kids and she's fine, everything was fine.
Yeah.
What not to say?
Yeah. It's probably the best.
What not to say, you know?
It's a bit like Ronan Keating's song, "You Say It Best," probably, when you say nothing,
nothing
at all.
Just be there.
Yeah.
Just be there.
Yeah.
That's it. It's your presence, to be fair. And just being there and just, you know, being able to go. Or when a mom is breastfeeding and they go for a lie down, I have often heard that the dad then suddenly brings the baby upstairs and says it needs to be fed when the poor mom is fast asleep. So things like that. Just be careful. Just think.
Yeah. Just understand the situation at hand.
Think.
And absolutely. Obviously, then there'd be ladies that have come home after C-sections, which are obviously different to a natural birth.
Mm-hmm.
Would you kick in that respect as well, where obviously there's the helping out with, it's a different situation. It's major surgery, let's be honest.
It's huge. And it can take an awful toll on somebody's body, on their mind as well. I mean, you have to get out of a bed a certain way. You have to get into the bed a certain way. Mm. You can't drive your car for a certain amount of weeks. You can't lift anything, and it affects everybody differently. It is major surgery and it shouldn't be thought of anything less.
Mm.
And that's where a good partnership needs to come in.
Yeah,
absolutely. And your friends and your family, where they can kick in and do the meals, where they can you'll have to get your wound, you'll have to go to the nurse, you'll have to go, there'll be appointments. My friend had a section years ago and I brought her to the hospital to get her wound checked.
Mm.
Those little things, been there, your friend's been accessible to you, you have to be brought somewhere, things like that.
Another thing that I want to ask you, and I know lots of people don't talk about it because obviously sometimes it's quite a private thing, other things, you know, postnatal depression obviously can kick in, you know, probably when you least expect it to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's the situation when it comes to that? Would you be able to, would you notice that in a lady that might be showing a front in front of her mom, her dad, and his mom, his dad possibly? Is there a situation there where you
I'd
might
spot? I'd probably
be
more clued in because I'm not involved in this. I'm not connected to the situation.
Yeah.
So when you're not connected to the situation, it's much easier to possibly spot it. I'm not trained in any way, shape or form, but being another mom, another woman or in the situation, I'd probably be more in tune with it. I suppose the key signs would be that you're weepy, that you're emotional, that you feel that you're not able to do it. And you know, maybe you're not eating properly, you're not exercising. One of the most important things to do would be to exercise. Fresh air. Oh my God, fresh air. Get out with that buggy. You bought it for a reason. Just walk everywhere and just keep walking. The baby is going to love the fresh air anyway. But yeah, it is a concern. It's a real problem. And people in your family need to be aware of it to look for the signs. And if anyone thinks they see a sign, they should talk to the person, or they should ask them, you know, maybe contact their own GP and see how they could help that person. And there is lots of help out there.
Of course.
But the fresh air, fresh air and good, healthy, honest food.
Yeah.
Just fresh air.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
And I suppose the most important thing as well, you know, ladies that may have, they might be a single mom or whatever the case would be, that family should really kind of rein in and
say,
you know, if they feel that you need help. But I suppose the most important thing is don't go to a doctor to speak to a doctor about your daughter.
No.
Talk to your daughter first and say, look, we feel that you may need help.
But yeah, but you see, it's how you word it too. If you go guns in saying to someone, I think you've got, well, your back is up straight away because you don't want to be seen as a mom that's not coping. And and you want to be seen that you're coping. I think it's a hug, a cup of tea, been there, rubbing of the back, just observing and been there. And then when you think the time is right, broach the subject.
Yeah.
But have your eyes wide open because it's a real thing.
And I suppose as a mom that maybe, well, even a lady that might be pregnant at the moment or that might be a new mom or whatever, to just ask for the help if you feel
petrified.
That you need help.
Yeah,
of
it's course. Petrified. I remember being pregnant with Amy and thinking, I can't do this. Mm. I can't do this. Mm. Honest to God, I can't do this. And as my mom said, well, she has to come out. There's nothing you can do. And I was like, oh my God, she does. She has to come out. And it's the most exciting of times. And it's epic.
Yeah.
But when you suddenly sit down someday with this big bump and you're like 38 weeks pregnant and you're having a cup of tea and you're sitting there and you're on your own, you suddenly go, Jesus.
Yeah.
what have I done?
What has happened here?
What's happened here? When did this materialize? And yeah, but it's so exciting and it's epic.
It is, of course. Now, just something I want to get into is the service, the concierge service.
Yes.
After the baby comes along.
My favourite part.
Your favourite part. No doubt I can see a smile coming to your face already. Tell us what that entails.
Well, when the baby is born and you have the baby at home and now you want, you're left on your own and all the presents are opened and everything's nice and everyone's back to work and you now have questions. So you can have what's called a concierge service with me. I can either go to your home or you can come out here to the nursery and you can ask me any question under the sun. It could be about weaning. It can be about swaddling, how to put your baby to bed, how to nap your baby, how to change your baby, how to wash your baby. We have the whole setup here. So possibly if you came out here, the questions would probably flow easier. But also equally, if you're in your own home, you're in your own environment and you'd have loads of questions. There's no one else around. There's just me and you. And you can ask all those questions.
I think that's a wonderful service. And I'll tell you the reason why. Obviously, when I was in with R2, daddy gets the opportunity to bathe the baby. But I think you're so caught up in the action and the euphoria of it all. Yeah. You're not actually taking in the information.
Yeah.
You are, but you're not.
Yeah.
So you come out the door kind of as crazy as you did going in. So yeah. I think to hear it again from a quieter, more relaxed place.
Environment, yep.
Mm-hmm. Means a lot.
It does. It means a lot. And they're just, it's calm. It's relaxed. You're asking the questions. You're not being watched. You're not being judged. I'm not going to mark you out of 10. And it's nice. It's nice. It's one of my favorite services.
And who asks you the most questions? Mom or dad?
Dad.
It's a good lad, dad.
Because the mom's like, God, I told you that already. Do you not believe me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And obviously they come down here, obviously you teach them as well. I suppose the most important thing is the child's head.
Yes.
Like you have to be so conscious of that, you know, holding the child properly and making sure that neck is supported along the line.
Yeah.
Obviously you do that here with Millie.
We can either do it with your baby, not bathe the baby, obviously, unless it's in your own home.
Yeah.
I could go to a bathing process with you in your own home, which is great. But I have Millie here, who is our weighted baby, who's a newborn. So I would use her and people see me in the car now and they'll say, did she have a baby? So I put car seats in the car. I'm out walking with Millie. I have her in a papoose at the front. I try out all kinds of products, so I do test products as well for parents. So Millie's like my new baby. Amy gets a little jealous sometimes, and the dog sniffs her every now and then. But I love her to pieces, and it's handy to have a kind of a thing that you can hold, or if you're pregnant, or if the dad says just hold the baby there now, and they're like, okay, or I'll bring the baby with me to go into a shop or whatever. Yeah. So it's nice.
And I think the most important thing is, obviously, it's a process towards the end goal of having a child. So not to feel silly
that
you are actually
thing.
Here holding a baby. We have to learn
something.
I've
had so much fun. I mean, I've been in shops and I've had pregnant women cross their legs because they've had to find the nearest toilet. We've had so much fun, or we've had a cup of tea. And it's not all about, it's about forming friendships and having relationships with people and have that person you can ring without being judged and just having fun. And and some of my friends have said, a concierge, what's that like? How can you be a concierge? You don't work in a hotel. I said, yeah, I know, but I loved the name concierge. I thought it was cool.
Well, it is cool, but it's lovely. It's different. It's niche, but I think it's very, important.
It is.
I really do. Because as you said there, it might be somebody that has a whole heap of older brothers and sisters that are now having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have the handling of a child before.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering as well, obviously you'd have parents with big gaps between kids.
Yeah.
That there might be maybe 15, 20 years between two of their children that they might not have been able to conceive until a particular time.
Yeah. And older parents,
of course, that might not have the energy at times maybe to do things. Do you find that kicks in with you as well? That would be an area?
I get every cohort of person ringing me, with they be on their a single parent, same sex family, if they've had IVF treatment and they've waited for years to have this baby and they're in their late 40s, I could have a family who's in their early 30s, and everybody is at a different stage in their life, but the end result is the same.
Yeah.
So it's lovely to see those families, but I would get any type of family contact to me.
Yeah.
Any type. It's great.
Now, I just want to say congratulations, because you got a few accolades over the last little while as well.
I did.
And congratulations.
Very proud.
You're very involved with the Galway Ladies Work Network, would I
network
be right in saying
Galway.
That?
And Network Galway, Ireland, yeah. Of course, yeah. Yeah. But in the Network Galway one, yes, it's very good. I only joined it in January. I suppose I'm involved in organisations to do with my work, which is brilliant. And I get in all my information from that through from the government and all that kind of stuff. And it's brilliant and we help each other out. I'm a member of the Federation of Early Childhood Providers, which has 1,400 members, and it's brilliant. We get all our information. But I suppose I was looking for something that was slightly different, that I was going to meet other businesses and that we were on a different agenda, but on the same page of being women in business and learning from women who were in business for a lot longer than me. So I joined them in January thinking, I'm not going to like this. I absolutely love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
There's a great bunch
so
in there.
I met so many women from so many different businesses and the fun is just brilliant. Absolutely
brilliant. I know that I met you in town with a group of them there not so long ago, and you're good fun as well.
Great
because
crack.
Obviously, you know, you take your jobs very, very seriously and you have a great passion for your job, but it's important to have that outlet that you meet up maybe for a cup of coffee, cup of tea or whatever.
Brilliant.
And discuss different things.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's all kinds, like even this evening now we're meeting for dinner. About nearly 20 of us meeting for dinner this evening in the Ardilon, and I'm looking forward to that.
Lovely.
Like there's walks and talks. There's coffee mornings with a difference, but you're meeting all these other businesses that I never even knew were in Galway, ran by all these different types of women. So I put myself forward for awards and I got through as a finalist. And I won.
Go on, tell us what's the title?
Oh my God, I was totally unexpected. I won the Power Within Champion.
Lovely.
Which was totally unexpected. And I had been asked, this is a few weeks before, by the chairlady to pick a song in case I won, to collect my award. And I said, would you stop? I'm to notion of winning, not picking a song. God's sake, who picks songs to go up to collect the award? And I actually had met her out that night as well with you. She was with us and she had actually just had this conversation. She said, Hazel, a few people haven't picked their songs. And I said, oh God, oh, I don't know. What kind of song? Because I said, well, my all-time favourite go-to song is Bat Out of Hell by Meatloaf.
Oh, brilliant.
I play it everywhere, everything. And she says, well, Hazel, you really can't have that now. Really and truly, can't have that as an awards. So I went up to collect my award and what
sure
did they
enough.
Play? They played Bat Out. And the photograph of me on the stage rocking it out with Bat Out. Oh my God. But brilliant. Loved it. Loved winning that. And I got highly commended in the Businesswoman of the Year. So that was fantastic for me. Fantastic for the women in my life. The women that work here. It was as much an award for those ladies downstairs that work for me as my own family and my own daughter. Particularly, I could talk, I have a whole podcast about my daughter if you wanted to. But yeah, it was just epic to be just, I felt like I had accomplished something.
Of course, but
you know, it was just amazing, the feeling.
Yeah.
It was on, and I just loved it. I'm true now to the National Awards in October.
Oh, so lovely. So this stems on to the Nationals. Oh, that's great.
Oh, I don't know. That's now where it's going to get nerve-wracking. I've seen some of the women I'm up against and they're some force. Some force.
Well, you're some force yourself. I'll tell you one thing. You really are. I'll tell you, the energy in the room, never mind anything else, you're great. But it's lovely to be commended for something that you do, that you enjoy doing, and that other people look in and kind of go, she's done that really well.
Yeah.
So I think that means as much as anything else as well.
Yeah, it was a proud moment. And even having my businesses, I take it very seriously. I love what I do. It hasn't been easy. Let no one think being self-employed is easy, but it has rewards, huge rewards. I wouldn't have done it any differently. I wouldn't have changed anything. I wouldn't have done anything any different. I love everything that I've done.
Well, that's fantastic.
Absolutely loved it.
Well, I wish you the very best. I'm just going to call it out here. It's hazel@earlyyearsconcierge.ie. If people want to get you there.
And the Instagram. I've only learned, I'm very excited about Instagram. Oh, yeah. I love to see the followers going up. So it's...
So what's your Instagram handle?
Early Years Concierge.
Excellent. So check that out. Early Years Concierge there as well. So you'll find her there. And she's great. She's mighty. And a fantastic business card, I have to say. I've had that since the day that you showed me in town.
Would you believe I approached the Galway Enterprise Board just in case anyone's setting up a business about this new business. And they were fantastic. fantastic help. So I got a mentor, and Caroline McNeil is her name, and SmartWorks. And we sat down, we had a few chats. I explained what I wanted in my logo and everything, and she got it straight away. And that's her. She did that.
Well, she did, and you can see it. It's a really nice piece.
Amazing.
And it's down here as bespoke early years service giving parents the confidence to step into parenthood. I like that one. And you have your H down the bottom as well. To just say
it's all about me.
It's the personal touch.
Yeah,
I think
it is.
That's what's important.
Yes,
I wish you the very best.
Thank you.
I think it's fascinating. I was telling a few people at work today, and they couldn't get it. No, but it is great. And I know for a fact you're going to be hugely successful in this.
Well,
I know
there's nobody in Ireland doing this at the moment. I'm under no illusion that somebody will try and do it elsewhere. And that's fine. There's enough babies around for everybody.
There's oceans of babies knocking about. And look, at COVID has knocked out a hell of a lot of babies.
It so has. Thanks, Ronan.
Not at all. Best of luck with everything.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, tell a friend to click and download. I'll talk to you in a fortnight.